Text 5 of Sri Damodar Ashtakam. Idam te mukham bhojam atyanta nilair vritam kuntalai snigdha raktaischa gopya muhushchum vitam bimba rakta dharam me manasya virastam alam lakshalabha. This is continuing the theme of the previous verse. We find in the previous verse, Sadame manasya virastam kimanyai. May this vision always be present in my mind. Kimanya, what else? What use is there of anything else? And in this verse, similarly, it's stated, Manasya virastam alam lakshalabhan. And so, Manasya virastam, may my mind be absorbed in that. And the lang laksha labha, even if I get lakhs and lakhs of other boons, what is the point? What is the meaning? So it's a rhetorical question. It's making a statement in the form of a question. So, in the previous verse, was simply described that we wanted to have the vision of Gopala Bala, Bala Gopala. And what is that vision? What does he look like? That is described in this verse. That his lotus-like face is surrounded by hair. That is very dark blue. When very dark blue is almost black. Krishna is called Krishna, he's also called Shyama. So Krishna actually means black.
Krishna ante nalupu ani kuda.
And Shyama means dark blue, so dark that it's almost black.
Shyama ante chala chala neelangu, enta neelangu ante adi dadapu nallaga kanapadu.
So this is the description of Krishna.
Adi Krishna ela untadu ani cheppadu.
So his body is Shyama Sundara, Sharma Varna, or blue, or dark blue color, and very beautiful. And his hair is also Atyanta Neela, a very deep blue color. It's Kuntal, it's curly. And snigdha, it's naturally a little glossy or oily actually. It literally means oily.
It means
glossy. Chikun. How do you say that in Hindi? Similar word, isn't it? Chikna. So it's glossy. Like they show in the advertisements for the shampoo, that your hair will be shiny. So Krishna's hair is naturally like that. But it's very dark blue, but a little tint of red also. I'm getting a very detailed description of Keshava here. Keshava means it's very beautiful Keshava hair. That's one meaning. There are so many meanings of every name. So, Krishna's lotus face is surrounded by very beautiful hair. And his lips are red like bimba fruits. Does anyone know what a bimba fruit is? Now if you say red, it'd be red. People know red more like the pan spitting. There's one incident many years ago. This is in the 1970s in New York City. So one of our devotees was being arrested on the street for selling Srila Prabhupada's books. So that used to happen. It doesn't happen much nowadays. So he thought this is stupid. The devotee thought this is stupid. He just started, he was during the Damodar month and he just started reciting this song. Policeman was asking, what is your name, what is your age, all these questions. And in between he was reciting the translation of the Damodar Ashtaka. The policeman was being very official and formal. But then he couldn't resist, the policeman said. He said, what is your name? What is your age? Residence? What is a bimba fruit? Whatever it is, it's very red. Krishna's lips are very red. And his cheeks are kissed again and again by the gopi. So, from the context of the Damodar song, we know that this means Mother Yashoda. Though there may be so many other gopis who kissed Krishna also. Because when Brahma stole the calves and the cowherd boys, Krishna expanded himself into those forms. So then all the friends of Mother Yashoda who wanted to have Krishna in their home, they got Krishna in their home. So they could kiss Krishna again and again to their heart's satisfaction. But here it means, the gopi particularly means, in this context, means Yashoda. But for those who know the secret, Mother Yashoda doesn't know it, but there's another gopi called Radha who also kisses Krishna a lot. So this is a description of Krishna's face. Mukham Bhoja, his lotus face. So the idea is that Manasya Virasta, that this form will be vision. This form of Krishna will be visible within my mind. With the idea that if one is deeply absorbed in thought of Krishna, that one will observe and relish Krishna's indescribable beauty and splendor. His face is Prafulla Kamalakara. It resembles a fully blossomed lotus flower. Nikhila Santapa Hari. His face removes all distresses. And it is Paramananda Rasamai, which is just translated here as, it is pervaded with the supreme mellows of pure bliss. Paramananda Rasamai. You can just say in Telugu. So, the praying, Muhush, Muhush Chumbita, means again and again kissed by Mother Yashoda. Muhu Muhu. But it also may mean, may that vision of Krishna's face be again and again revealed in my mind. The vision of Krishna with his beautiful hair. That whenever Krishna moves and he's an active young boy, then his hair will swish from side to side. And just like the lotus flower, the honeybees, they come around the flower, so Krishna's hair surrounds his cheeks just like that. And any this desire to always meditate upon Krishna, that is the intense heart's desire of the devotee. You can imagine many other things. Maya can offer us many, many different kinds of things. But a devotee rejects them all. Would you like to go to Japan? No, I want to see Krishna. Would you like to be the Prime Minister? No, I want to see Krishna. Would you like to have a very strong, healthy body, or in the case of women, beautiful, healthy body? Maya may offer us so many things. Take this, take that. But the devotee says, no, I simply want that within my heart I may always capture the vision of Krishna. So, text 6. Namo Deva Damodara Ananta Vishnu Prasida Prabhu Dukha Jalabdhi Magnam Kripa Drishti Vishchati Dinam Batanu Viharnesha Mamagyam Edhyakshi Drishaha. So, Namaha. This song this prayer started with this similar word, Namami. Bowing down, offering our respect to that Deva. That the word Deva has already been described. Damodar. That's the whole point of the whole subject. Krishna has many, many names. How many names does Krishna have?
English.
Vishnu Sahasranam. One of Krishna's names is Sahasranama. It means he has 1,000 names. But that's only indicative. That means 1,000 in the beginning. Every word is a name for Krishna. Yadyad vibhuti mat sadvam srimad urjita mevava tat tad eva avagachatvam namato tejonsha sambhavam. Krishna says that whatever there is which you think is good in this world, that is simply a manifestation of my brilliance. So anything good we see, that's related with Krishna. And anything bad we see is also related with Krishna. Directly or indirectly. Properly or improperly. Favorably or perversely, everything is connected with Krishna. So, Damodara is described here as Ananta, unlimited. There is no limit to his glories. What is glorious about a person who can be tied up? That's shameful, isn't it? For a person who's supposed to be great. Sambhavitasya chakyate maranadati vichyate. In the Bhagavad Gita, that's stated that for one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. That's why traditionally many fighters, they would fight to the death. They won't surrender. They won't be captured. They would rather die. But Krishna is the most powerful and the most glorified. And he's become tied up by a village woman. Can you imagine if there's some champion wrestler and some village woman just comes and ties him up? That will be shameful, won't it? Srila Prabhupada sometimes gave the example of Napoleon. If you know European history, you must know the name of Napoleon. The great French emperor. Who conquered so much of Europe. He conquered over much of Europe. But eventually the English captured him. And as a humiliation, they made him drink horse's urine. Horse's urine. So, he was so powerful, so great, all conquering. And then his enemies, to humiliate him, they captured him and they made him drink horse's urine. So has Krishna become limited? See, any great conqueror, he's limited. Everyone in this world is limited. Even if you remain unbeaten throughout life, still you get beaten by birth, death, old age and disease. And forgotten by time, in the course of time. There were some great kings in this area, you know, there's Kakatiya, yeah. There were very great kings, and now no one even knows their name hardly. What about our non-Telugus? Kishori Mohan, you ever heard of the Kakatiya kings? No. They're lost in course of time. I heard a little because sometimes I used to go to Waranga like that. So, yeah, everyone is limited, however big the king you may be. There are so many big kings in different parts of India. In Hyderabad there was the Nizam. Then we have this Hoysala, Hampi, Vijayanagaram, and so many kings. Now all lost in course of time. But Krishna is unlimited. So how is he getting tied up? Well, that is another symptom of his being unlimited. No one can tie him up. But he agrees to be tied up. He's so unlimited that his being tied up doesn't affect. He's actually unlimited. So his being tied up doesn't affect his unlimitedness. Just to show that actually he cannot be tied, Mother Yashoda, she brought so many ropes again and again, and none of the ropes, all the ropes in the house could not tie up Krishna. And then even after being tied up, Krishna dragged that mortar, which must have been very too heavy for a little boy to drag. That's why Mother Yashoda tied him to a mortar so he couldn't get away. So he not only pulled the mortar, but he pulled it between two massive trees and pulled them down. So if he was strong enough to pull down two trees, he must have been strong enough to get free from the ropes. His power was not reduced. So Krishna, even though he's tied up, his unlimitedness is not compromised. Even though he lies, he steals, he engages in activities that to other people might seem improper. His purity is not compromised. So even when Krishna is performing childhood pastimes, it may just seem like some fun or some play, but he's actually exhibiting his godly opulences. There is so much to be understood in terms of Bhagavat Tattva Jnanam, about every action of Krishna's. That's why we'll find that Chaitanya Bhagavat is almost all description of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes.
చైతన్య భాగవతంలో ధరంకర్త కూడాను చైతన్య మహాప్రభు యొక్క లీలలు.
But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he commented all the philosophy in and his comment. Because he is Bhaktisiddhanta, he gives the proper understanding. So we should understand, we have to understand what is the proper understanding behind all these pastimes. Otherwise the Mayavadis, the demons, they may also talk about Krishna Leela.
But
they always give some misunderstanding. Just for instance, they'll say the gopis dance with Krishna and then they became one with Krishna. Or they'll say that Krishna taking the clothes of the gopis means you have to be naked before God. They give some funny explanations. So don't listen to the Mayavadi's explanations. జీవే నిష్టా లాగి సూత్ర కైల వ్యాస్ మాయవాద భాష్య శునులే హై సర్వనాశ్. ఫర్ సేవింగ్ ఆర్ అప్ డెలివరింగ్ ద జీవస్ వ్యాసదేవ్ కంపైల్ ద వేదాంత సూత్ర.
జీవుల్ని ఉద్ధరించడం కోసం వ్యాసదేవులు వారు మన కోసం శ్రీమద్ భాగవతాన్ని రచించారు.
వేదాంత సూత్ర.
But
if you hear the Mayavadi's commentary, then that will spoil everything.
కానీ మీరు మాయావాదుల యొక్క భాష్యం చూసినట్లయితే దానివల్ల మనకు అంతా కూడా నష్టం జరుగుతుంది.
అవైష్ణవ ముఖోద్గీర్ణం భూతం హరి కథామృతం శ్రవణ నైవ కర్తవ్య సర్పోచ్ఛిష్ట యథాపయం. Hearing హరి కథ talks about Krishna, which is just like nectar, but hearing that from non-devotees, it's like taking milk which has been touched by the lips of a snake, it becomes poisonous. So Krishna is Ananta, he is unlimited. He's not limited within this stupid lucubrations of foolish scholars. They make this, all their stupid ideas. We shall not hear from them. We shall hear from persons who accept that Krishna is unlimited. Who understand that we can begin to understand Krishna when we understand that we cannot understand him fully.
మనం ఎప్పుడు కృష్ణుని అర్థం చేసుకోవచ్చు అంటే ఎప్పుడైతే మనం కృష్ణుని అర్థం చేసుకోలేము అనే అవగాహనకి వస్తామో అప్పుడు చెప్పడమే మనం కృష్ణుని అర్థం చేసుకోగలం.
If we think we've understood Krishna, then we definitely haven't understood him.
మనం అనుకుంటే కృష్ణుడి గురించి మనకు అర్థమైందని అంటే దీన్ని బట్టి మనం అర్థం చేసుకోవాలంటే
the symptom of understanding Krishna is described by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita.
Krishna ye vidhanga artham chesukovali ani Krishna Bhagavad Gita cheppadu.
Aham sarvasya prabhavo matah sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanditah. Krishna says that I am the source of all emanations, everything emanates from me.
కృష్ణుడు చెప్తున్నాడు అన్ని ఏవైతే బహిర్గతం అవుతున్నాయో అన్ని కూడా నా నుండే వస్తున్నాయి అని చెప్తున్నాడు.
ది వైజ్ హూ నో దిస్ పర్ఫెక్ట్లీ, ఇఫ్ వి అక్సెప్ట్ దిస్ దట్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ ది సోర్స్ ఆఫ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్, దెన్ వి ఎంగేజ్ ఇన్ కృష్ణస్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్ విత్ ఫుల్ ఫీలింగ్.
ఎప్పుడైతే ఎవరైతే దీన్ని తెలుసుకుంటారో అప్పుడే నిజంగా నిజమైన భావంతో భక్తిలో మనం నిమగ్నం అవగలం.
దిస్ ఈజ్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్.
ఇదే నిజంగా తెలియజేటువంటి
to make all kinds of so-called scholarly word jugglery to avoid Krishna is misused intelligence.
ఈ మాటల గారిటో చెప్పడం అనేది ఏంటంటే ఈ తెలివితేటల్ని వృధా చేసుకోవడమే, అంటే దుర్వినియోగం చేయడం.
That's called Maya Aparita Jnana. One's knowledge, one is apparently knowledgeable, but one's knowledge is stolen by illusion.
Maya చేత దుర్వినియోగించబడింది వాళ్ళకి.
This is widespread in the Hindu community in Andhra Pradesh, in the Telugu speaking area. There are various commentaries on Bhagavad Gita, which some people say they're sweet like honey, but the effect is poison.
చాలా మంది చెప్తూ ఉంటారు భాష్యం, ఆ భాష్యం పలానా భాష్యం చాలా చాలా తీయగా ఉంది అని. కానీ ఎటువంటి భాష చదవడం వల్ల ఏమవుతుందంటే అది విషం లాంటిది.
Did you say sweet like honey?
అది
people say it's sweet like honey. You said that? There's another word for honey.
దేనివలే తీయగా ఉంది అని చెప్తారు.
What's that word? Makaranga, is it? Makaranga, what is that mean? Nectar. Someone told me that meant honey. Anyway. So, Vishnu. There's another name.
Vishnu అనేది మరొక పేరు.
For Damodara.
Damodara.
Vishnu means all pervading.
Vishnu అంటే అంతటా విస్తరించి ఉన్నాడు.
So when he becomes tied up, he's still Vishnu.
ఎప్పుడైతే బందీ అయ్యాడో అప్పుడు కూడా విష్ణువే.
He's unlimited. He's all-pervading. He's still within everyone's heart. He is still within everyone's heart. And within everyone, and within every atom. And he's between every atom. There's a big philosophical discussion among some Vaishnavas. Is Krishna in the heart beside the jiva or inside the jiva?
ఇక్కడ వైష్ణవులు ఒక తత్వపరమైన విచారం ఏమిటంటే కృష్ణుడు జీవుడి యొక్క హృదయం లోపల పక్కన ఉన్నాడా, ఆ యొక్క జీవుడి యొక్క హృదయం ఉన్నాడా?
Well, you can worry about that yourself in your spare time.
మీరు మీకు సమయం ఉంటే దాని గురించి ఆలోచించుకోవచ్చు.
Yeah, we need something to secure this so that we don't get so much noise disturbance. Huh? We get cross ventilation. Okay, do the needful. Are you an engineer? Aeronautics engineer? Mechanical engineer. Okay. Alright. Your engineering knowledge is used in the service of Krishna. It's gone from 0 to 10. So, we're praying to the Supreme Lord as unlimited, all-pervading. Declaring that he's definitely much greater than us. You don't praise a person for having the same qualities that you do. Well, you could do, but that would be condescending. You know what that word means. That means that you're like talking down to someone. Just like when that Kashmiri scholar came and met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said to, actually at that time he was known as Nimai Pandit, and the scholar said, I've heard you're a very great scholar of grammar.
అతను ఏమని చెప్పాడు ఎప్పుడైతే ఈ కాశ్మీర్ పండిత చైతన్య మహాప్రభు కలిసినప్పుడు అప్పుడు విమాయ పేరు చైతన్య మహాప్రభు నేను విన్నాను నువ్వు ఈ యొక్క గ్రామర్ అనేది ఉందో దాంట్లో నువ్వు
గ్రామర్ వ్యాకరణం So in the name of he was apparently praising him, but actually it's like a covered insult. Because the Kashmiri Pandit, he was expert in all fields of Sanskrit knowledge, of literature and everything. So he was, by praising, he was indirectly insulting that you're just a fly in front of me. Oh, you're very good in grammar. But generally, if you praise someone, that means to admit that they are significantly better than you. Just like, for instance, in our ISKCON society, some devotees come to Prabhupada disciples and say, "Oh, I'm so glad to see you. You're practicing Krishna consciousness so many years." But generally, Prabhupada disciples won't say that among each other, "Oh, you've been practicing Krishna consciousness so many years," because they're doing the same thing. A Nobel Prize winner is not awed by another Nobel Prize winner. One professor doesn't show much respect to another professor. The ordinary people may show some respect to a professor, but among professors they're equals. Or if you meet a very rich man, an ordinary person may be very respectful, but then if he meets another very rich man, they're like equals. Someone has $1 billion and he meets someone else with $1 billion, he's not impressed. So we offer praise to someone who is significantly greater than us. Krishna is praised as Ananta, Vishnu, he's unlimited, he's all pervading. But what kind of praise is it to say you're tied up with a rope on your stomach? It doesn't sound like it's a very... What kind of praise is that? Just like if someone was in... For instance, if someone was in prison and they come out and they say, "Oh yeah, you were in prison, weren't you?" I mean... It's a disqualification. Just like that Kanchi Shankaracharya, if you meet him, you could say that, "Oh yes, you're very learned and you come in a great tradition and you're in prison." It's insulting to mention that. But in the case of Krishna, it is a great praise. Everything Krishna does becomes worshipable. So worshipable that this pastime is remembered even after so many thousands of years. I mentioned the name of Napoleon. He performed so many heroic activities. He conquered so many countries. And so he's praised still, only in France. They don't praise him anywhere else. He was French. That's why they praise him in France. So, Napoleon is praised for winning this battle and winning another battle and conquering so many countries. And we are praising this person for being tied up by his mother. If we see great people in history, what did they do? Napoleon conquered so many countries. Einstein made so many scientific theories. Edison invented the electric light and so many other things. Ford was the first one to make affordable cars for the masses. And what was that guy? I can't remember. Neil Armstrong. He was the first man to step on the moon. One small step for man and one great step for mankind. It was a great, great drama they filmed in the Nevada desert. So these are the all-time greats. Oh, shouldn't forget Mahatma Gandhi, his statues in the village. He is said to have driven the British out. So all these great people doing so many great things. And here's Krishna. What did he do? He got tied up by his mother when he was a baby. Doesn't seem to be a very important thing. I mean, how did that change the world? How did that affect the balance of power? There was a meeting just shortly before the end of the Second World War. It was understood that it's just a matter of time before the Germans are defeated. So there was a meeting at Yalta in Ukraine between Roosevelt, the President of America, Churchill, the head of Britain, and Stalin, the head of the USSR, about what to do, how to divide up everything after the Germans are defeated. Roosevelt, Churchill, and Stalin. I'm teaching you mundane history. Great events in mundane history. So one of them, I think, probably it was Roosevelt. One of them suggested that maybe we should call the Pope. He's a very important, influential person. Maybe we should call the Pope to this meeting also. So Stalin objected. He asked, how many divisions does he have? Divisions means like army divisions. In other words, he's of no significance because he doesn't have any army. So what significance was Krishna? He was just a little boy playing in a village. He was very naughty. His mother became angry. And his mother tied him up. If someone comes and they see us worshipping Damodar, then they ask, well, why are you worshipping him? And see, if you see a picture of Kumar, Skanda, Kartikeya, you see he's defeating all the demons. All the big armies of the demons. Indra is the king of heaven. Brahma is the creator. Shiva is the destroyer. And baby Krishna got tied up by some rope by his mother. So why are you worshipping him? Because you see, when he was a baby, he got tied up. He stole some butter and then his mother tied him up. Of course, Krishna is Tejas Tejas Vinamaham. He is the power of the, powerful. But at this time, he hadn't shown much of that. He'd killed a few demons. But his mother and the residents of Vrindavan, they didn't even know he'd killed any demons, even though they'd seen him do it. They just thought it was some good luck. When he sucked this Putana's breast, luckily she had a heart attack and she died. When he went with the Trinavarta in the air, luckily that Trinavarta, he was carrying away Krishna, but he suddenly ran out of energy and he also died. Lucky for us. So in this way, Krishna, he appeared to be a helpless child under the control of his mother. And actually he was a helpless child under the control of his mother. And that's why we're worshipping him. Because he's simultaneously unlimited. We cannot even begin to imagine how great is Krishna. But Krishna becomes controlled by bhakti. Bhakti is greater than Krishna. So it's not that he stops being great by being tied up. But by this it is shown that even though Krishna is unlimitedly great, bhakti is even greater than Krishna. This is inconceivable. Therefore we simply worship Damodar. So we We recognize He is great. And we pray to Him, Prasida Prabho, O my Lord, be pleased with me. This is the essence of all prayers. O Lord, O Prabhu, be pleased with me.
O Prabhu, na patla prasannudu.
Devotee simply tries to please Krishna. Devotee knows that Krishna is unlimited. He has unlimited devotees. Who am I? I'm just very, very, very small. But I know that one aspect of Krishna's greatness is that even though He's so powerful, He's also very, very kind, even to the smallest of His devotees. So, I cannot say I'm a devotee, but somehow I have some relation with some devotees. So Krishna, I know you are very kind to your devotees. So I'm claiming a relationship with your devotees. So please be kind to me also. You have so many great devotees, Yashoda and so many other great devotees. But please remember me also. Be pleased with me also. I cannot offer you bhakti at the level that Yashoda is offering. But I'm trying to do something to please you. You say in Bhagavad Gita that patram pushpam palam toyam, you offer me leaf, flower, fruit and water, so I can bring you something insignificant. Bringing the leaf, flower, fruit or water, that's the easy part. Krishna makes that part very easy. He wants to be pleased with us. But the difficulty from our side is to bring the bhakti. So we can simply pray that Krishna, I'm trying to please you. If you find anything within me that even resembles slightly something like bhakti, please accept it. I'm not worthy to be to pray like this. I know I can't do anything actually pleasing to you, but still I'm praying, be pleased with me. So devotee has, it's called Asha Bandha, or great hope. Devotee has great hope that even though I'm not at all qualified to even talk of Krishna or think of Krishna or pray to Krishna, but still, I have a right also. I also am connected with Krishna constitutionally. So even though I have disqualified myself in so many ways by being so envious of Krishna, still, it is the constitutional opportunity for every jiva to pray to Krishna.
Krishna. మన యొక్క సహజమైన స్థితి ఏమిటంటే ప్రతి ఒక్క జీవుడు కూడా కృష్ణుడితో ఒక సంబంధాన్ని కలిగి ఉన్నాడు.
సో ఎవ్రీవన్ కమ్ ప్రే టు కృష్ణ, కృష్ణ ప్లీజ్ బి ప్లీజ్డ్ విత్ మీ,
కనుక దయచేసి నాలో ప్రసన్నుడు అని ప్రతి ఒక్కరు కూడా ప్రార్థిస్తారు.
It's not that we just say, please be pleased with me, but we should also consciously try at every moment to act in a manner that Krishna will be pleased. It's not that we should be hypocritical and deliberately do all kinds of things that are not pleasing to Krishna, and then say, Krishna be pleased with me.
మనం ఈ విధంగా బోధకంగా సాధనాలే చేయవన్నీ మనం ఎక్కువ చేస్తూ కృష్ణ నందు నా పట్ల ప్రసన్నుడు అవ్వని కానీ ఇప్పుడు ప్రయత్నం చేస్తూ ఉంటాం.
అనుకూల్యస్య సంకల్ప ప్రతికూల్యస్య వర్జనం, దిస్ షుడ్ బి ద గైడ్ ఆఫ్ అవర్ లైఫ్. వి అక్సెప్ట్ టు డూ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ దట్ ఈస్ ప్లీజింగ్ ఫర్ కృష్ణ అండ్ రిజెక్ట్ ఎనీథింగ్ విచ్ విల్ బి నాట్ ప్లీజింగ్ టు కృష్ణ.
మనం ఏదైతే కృష్ణుని తృప్తిపరచడానికి అవసరమైన రజి కూడా స్వీకరించాలి, ఏదైతే కృష్ణుని తృప్తిపరచడానికి అంటే ఆటంకంగా ఉంటాయి వాటన్నింటినీ కూడా తిరస్కరించాలి. ఇదే మన జీవితానికి మార్గదర్శకత్వం మన కృష్ణ చైతన్యం.
సో వీ షుడ్ డూ అవర్ బెస్ట్,
కాబట్టి మనం ఎంత చేయగలమో అంత చేయాలి మన శక్తి.
అండ్ ప్రే టు కృష్ణ దట్ కృష్ణ ప్లీజ్ అక్సెప్ట్ ఐఎమ్ ట్రైయింగ్,
కృష్ణుని మరి ప్రార్థించాలి నేను ప్రయత్నం చేస్తున్నాను దయచేసి నన్ను స్వీకరించు.
Everyone should try their best to please Krishna. Everyone has different capacities. There are many devotees of Ramachandra Bhagavan. Not everyone can jump over the ocean. But when Hanuman came back, all the devotees, all the monkeys, they cheered Hanuman. Because they were devotees and they wanted that Rama be served. But in some office in the modern age, if you do something good, everyone will become envious and try to pull you down. And take the credit for themselves.
Obviously, ఎవరైనా ఒక మంచి పని చేస్తే మీరు అందరూ కూడా అంత శత్రుత్వాన్ని పెంచుకుంటారు, ఈ విషయం వస్తుంది.
So devotees, they simply want to see that the Lord is served.
భక్తులు ఏమనుకుంటారంటే ఎప్పుడు కూడా భగవంతుడికి ఏ విధంగా సేవ బాగా జరుగుతుంది అనేది చూస్తారు.
And they become pleased when they see other devotees serving better than I do.
ఇప్పుడు ఎప్పుడైతే భక్తులు ఏమనుకుంటారంటే వేరే భక్తులు నాకంటే బాగా సేవ చేస్తున్నాడంటే అతను సంతృప్తి పొందుతాడు.
సో హనుమాన్ ఇస్ సర్వింగ్ ఇన్ సచ్ ఎ గ్రేట్ వే, బట్ లెట్ మీ ట్రై అండ్ డూ సంథింగ్ ఆల్సో ఇన్ మై ఓన్ కెపాసిటీ.
హనుమంతుడు అంత చాలా గొప్ప సేవ చేశాడు కానీ నేను కూడా నాకు తగ్గట్టు నేను కూడా ఒక సేవ చేస్తాను.
ఐ మే నాట్ డూ వాట్ ఐ కెనాట్ డూ వాట్ హనుమాన్ ఇస్ డూయింగ్, బట్ లెట్ మీ డూ వాట్ ఐ కెన్ డూ.
నేను హనుమంతుడి లాగా అంత సేవ చేయలేదు కానీ నేనేం చేయగలను అది నేను
చేస్తాను. The monkeys are throwing the big rocks in the water and the squirrel is pushing some sand and Rama is equally satisfied because the squirrel is acting to the full capacity.
ఏ విధంగా అయితే కోతులన్నీ కూడా రాళ్ళు చేస్తున్నాయో కొడత తన చేయదగింది కొడత భక్తిగా.
So Hanuman jumps to Lanka and comes back and says, Prasida Prabhu, Lord be pleased with me. And Ramachandra Bhagavan is very pleased. And the squirrel is pushing the sand and Prasida Prabhu, yes.
అప్పుడు అదే విధంగా ఈ గుడత కూడా ఇసుకని లాగుతూ ఉంది, అదే ప్రసీద ప్రభు అంటే అప్పుడు రాముడు సంతృప్తి.
లార్డ్ ఇస్ సాటిస్ఫైడ్, ది లార్డ్ ఇస్ సాటిస్ఫైడ్,
రాముడు సంతృప్తి.
హి డజంట్ నీడ్ అవర్ హెల్ప్ యాక్చువల్లీ,
అతనికి మన సహాయం ఏం లేదు.
బట్ హి లైక్స్ టు సీ హౌ వి ఆర్ ట్రైయింగ్ టు సర్వ్.
అతను చూడాలనుకుంటున్నాడు ఏ విధంగా మనలో భావం ఉంది, సేవ భావం ఉంది.
సో కంటిన్యూయింగ్ ది the theme of taking a benediction,
ఇక్కడ వరం తీసుకునే యొక్క ఏదైతే ఉందో లేదో గ్రహించాలనే భావం ఉందో ఇంకా జరుగుతుంది ఇదే శ్లోకాల్లో.
The devotee prays, Dukha Jalabdhi Magnam. I am immersed in an ocean of distress and complications. This material world is very complex, isn't it? Very difficult. So, how to get out? The only way is by Kripa Drishti Vrishti, the rain of Krishna's merciful glance. So, the devotee is praying, Lord, be pleased with me, deliver me from this distress. So we were just hearing that the devotee doesn't pray for moksha. And now we're hearing the devotee is praying, relieve me from this distress. So actually when a devotee prays, relieve me from distress. The distress is the distress of not remembering Krishna. That's the devotee's distress. Deliver me from this painful position of not being able to serve you properly. And again, He addresses himself. I am ignorant. I don't know how to properly praise you or serve you or who you are. I'm simply ignorant. But anyway, I'm simply praying that you be visible to me. This prayer should be offered in pure devotion. Otherwise, if we ask that I want to see God in a demanding mood, that is incorrect. You're praying that may the Lord be merciful to see me, and then I will be able to see him. By praying thus, Sanatana Goswami comments, by praying in this way, naturally spontaneous feelings of love arise in the heart. So when we sing this Damodara Ashtaka, try to understand the meaning. And then the feelings for Krishna will arise. Hare Krishna Mahamantra Eto Shabhav Jai Jape Tare Krishna Upajai Bhav is the natural characteristic of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, that whoever chants it, the feelings for Krishna will arise within them. So one who desires to have vision of the Lord, they should know that the param sadhana, or supreme method to attain the mercy of Krishna in this way, is nama sankirtanam. Our after becoming aware of Krishna's beauty. Then we offer prayers offered with a hope and feeling. Which are all Namatmaka Pratana. They're prayers which are based on and infused with the potency of Krishna's holy names. Just like we see in this prayer, in this verse, Krishna is addressed as Deva, Damoda, Ananta, Vishnu, Prabhu. These are all names for the Supreme Lord. So we're praying to Prabhu, Lord.
Prabhu, ante Devada.
So this means he's the Lord of everything. But when we pray Prasida Prabhu, it's a very personal prayer. So, you're praying to my Lord. You're the Lord of everything and everyone, but I'm praying to you that you are the Lord of me personally. I'm praying to you in this manner. And Prasida, that means, when we say be pleased with me, that means have prasad upon me. Be merciful to me. Prasida Prabhu. Show me your mercy. So we're distressed and very fallen in this material situation. I am ati dina, means I'm very fallen. So devotees should pray humbly like this. One meaning of dina, being fallen, is that considering oneself very fallen because I don't have the association of devotees. Or another way that we can consider ourselves, or should consider ourselves fallen, is that, well, I'm not always thinking of you, Krishna, I'm not always seeing you, I must be very fallen. I'm also agyan, I'm ignorant. I don't know even what to do to get out of this difficult situation. So, I'm simply praying, you show me your mercy. Gopina, tumi panditavo, murkera mango, tumi andeshita. This Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He sings like this also. That you are, Gopinath, you are the most knowledgeable. So this fool, namely myself, I don't know what to do. I don't know what's good for me. So you find, you do whatever's best for me. You find it out. This is the humble prayer of a devotee. Kripa drishti vrishti, that shower me with your nectar-laden glances. Showing your mercy, shower me with your nectar-laden glances. And become visible to me. So Krishna is so beautiful that the devotee becomes so much desirous of seeing Krishna. That's why they show all these movies. They show beautiful women as actresses. They don't go looking for all the ugly women. They look for all the beautiful women. Because when a man sees a beautiful woman, he can become attracted, he can become mad. Or the women become mad after some male film star. They have their picture in their room. They always think of them. This is a perverted reflection of the soul's natural attraction to Krishna. If one is actually attracted by the beauty of Krishna, you can never be attracted by the beauty of this material world, the so-called beauty. So Ananta, Krishna is also he's described as Ananta here. That another meaning of that is that his mercy is unlimited. This is a prayer for mercy. So, O Lord, your mercy is unlimited. So I don't deserve it, but as it's unlimited, you can spare a little for me also. Prabhu Sanatana Goswami says, means that he is, and I'll tell you afterwards.
Prabhu, ante atanu ani ikkada artham.
Listen carefully to this. Achintya Ananta Adbhuta Mahashakti Yukta. You don't know how to translate it. Say that again. Achintya Ananta Adbhuta Mahashakti Yukta. It's one word. One word made up of six words. Achintya Ananta Adbhuta Mahashakti Yukta. Inconceivable, unlimited, extraordinary, great, powerful, great power, Yukta. Yukta means endowed with, we could say. Although, there's no proper word. If you say endowed with, it gives the idea that someone gave him that. But rather, these are his natural characteristics. These are his sadharan lakshanams. So, Krishna, he is achintya, ananta, adbhuta, and who am I? I'm just a tiny, insignificant jiva. But because he's also, his Mahashakti is also Achintya Shakti, then he can, even though I'm too small to understand him, he can, by his Achintya Shakti, reveal himself to me. There's a common saying, you cannot keep an elephant on a plate. If you bring one plate, one thali, and you propose to put one elephant, it's not possible. You can't even put one foot of the elephant. It's too big for the plate. So how can we keep Krishna in our mind when our mind is so small and Krishna is so great? That is possible by his mercy. Because his mercy is unlimited. He is Isha, the supreme controller. Paramaswatantra, supremely independent. I am not worthy for your mercy. But you don't have to take permission from anyone else to give me your mercy. Even though according to the normal rules, I'm not fit for your mercy. You can break all the rules and give me your mercy anyway. So another word, Vishnu, sometimes we think Vishnu, well, that's not really a Vrindavan name. That's more for Vaikuntha. But we also see that the gopis address Krishna as Vishnu. So it means that Vishnu means he can go anywhere. So he also enters into all the different caves and kunjas of Vrindavan. That's one meaning of Vishnu. So you can go anywhere, you're already everywhere. So you can come before my eyes. So there are so many meanings of these words. What's that? So Sanatana Goswami has given some more meanings of another meaning of Ananta means aparichinna or continuously existent without interval or separation. In the Christian idea, they had the idea that God was dead for three. They killed him and he was dead for 3 days. Very strange idea. God is not killed and he never dies. They said he was killed and he came back to life. And that's his great glory. But God is never dead. So, Damodar, the name, by saying the name Damodar with Ananta and Vishnu, the meaning is that his, due to his affection being his topmost attribute and him being full with all other attributes, there is nothing that he cannot do, and for his devotees he will do everything. So this these words can be explained in many ways. But we won't talk any more about that now. So I got up to number 6, huh? Alright. So, shall we sing some songs of the Vaishnava Acharyas? Gauranga will speak. Alright, yeah, please come. Gauranga. Gauranga, Gauranga. Okay, there's another student from the Gauradas language school.